There is a beach near Perranporth, Cornwall, which is in Great Britain, which is unlike any other stretch of coast in the world. It is not known for its breakers or even for its sand, but it is known for what washes up in the surf. Tens of thousands of tiny Lego toys. You see, back in 1997, a wave hit a container ship that was called the Tokyo Express, which had 62 containers on board. The ship sank, and as a result, all 62 of those containers on board went overboard, and they sank to the bottom of the ocean. One of those containers had nearly 4.8 million pieces of Legos that were bound for New York. Now, no one knows exactly what happened next, or even what was in the other 61 containers. But Lego pieces, and only Lego pieces, started washing up on both the north and south beaches of Cornwall. And in a quirky twist, many of those Lego items, they were nautical themed. Aaron, go ahead. So locals and tourists alike have found miniature cutlasses, flippers, spear guns, seagrass, and even scuba gear. Here is a picture of some of the stuff that has washed up on the beaches for well over 17 years now. Now, a U.S. oceanographer named Curtis Ebsmeyer, who studies ocean currents, and he has been studying the story of the Lego pieces on the coast of Cornwall, he offered a simple lesson. He said, "The most profound lesson that I've learned from the Lego story is that things that go to the bottom of the sea don't always stay there. They can be carried around the world seemingly randomly, but subject to the planet's currents and tides." See, this incident here is a perfect example of how even when inside a steel container, sunken items don't always stay sunken. To know that there are certain things in our spiritual lives, especially our sins, they don't stay sunken forever. Like the Lego pieces, these spiritual realities will eventually rise to the surface. The question is what we will do when we come across signs of them in our lives, sticking out of the sand. As we continue our series in Luke, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3 today, in a message that is titled, "Beware of the Leaven of the Pharisees." You see, Jesus went and he routinely exposed the sins in people's lives. He even exposed hypocrisy in the lives of the Pharisees, you know, the religious leaders of that day. Jesus had just had dinner at the home of one of the Pharisees, and he pronounced woes on the Pharisees and the lawyers. They were the scribes, the teachers of the law. And Jesus' pronouncement to them made them so angry that they wanted to catch him in some mistake so that they could kill him. And that is the context for our message today. This warning from Jesus on spiritual hypocrisy. There are two things we want to do. One is to look at an example of hypocrisy in verse 1. And then to look at the exposure of hypocrisy a little bit later on. The example, starting at verse 1. "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, 'Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees,'" which is hypocrisy. Now, I find it astonishing that there were thousands of people who came to see Jesus. I assume that some wanted to hear his teachings. Others wanted to see him perform some great miracle. Nevertheless, there were so many of them that they were trampling on one another in their efforts to see and to hear Jesus. In the midst of this mob scene, Jesus first addresses his own disciples. A little bit later on in chapter 12, he will address the crowds. But first, he takes a moment to speak to his disciples. Jesus told them to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Now, you probably know that yeast is leaven. Leaven is yeast. It's the same thing. And it works its way through the whole batch of dough. It is this yeast that causes bread to rise. It describes something small that spreads silently, almost secretly, but ultimately pervasively through the whole thing. Sometimes the Bible actually uses leaven or yeast in a positive way, like in the kingdom of God in Luke chapter 13. However, leaven, yeast, is more often used in a negative sense in the Bible, and it often refers to sin. In this instance, verse 1, Jesus used yeast to refer to the sin of hypocrisy. Now, the Greek word for hypocrisy was borrowed from the ancient theater. In the Greek world, a hypocrite was an actor. He wore a mask and he performed a role that did not correspond to his real self. Now, sometimes he even changed masks to depict two different characters. So Jesus was saying that Pharisees were play actors or role players. They were wearing an outward mask of righteousness, but their hearts were far from God. The Pharisees were play actors of religion, pretending to be something that they were not. Now, we need to be aware of the same danger. It is so easy to say and to do things that make us seem more spiritual than we really are. We may give people the impression that we are really rather righteous when in fact our hearts are far from God. And rarely does anyone ever challenge us regarding our own hypocrisy. Now, Craig Brian Larson, he was the editor of PreachingToday.com, and he told the following story. Listen to this. The Do Not Call list does a pretty good job of preventing unwanted telemarketer calls. But recently, a rogue company somehow pierced my Do Not Call defenses and bombed my telephone for several days. The blitz of calls began one day when I picked up the ringing phone and heard a friendly voice say, "Hello, this is Scott." At first, I couldn't even tell that it was a recorded message. I almost said hello back before the recording continued. "Are you in debt? Are you being hounded by creditors?" "No, I'm not in debt, other than my mortgage, and I'm current with that." I'd heard enough. And so I hung up the phone, a little perturbed that I had been called by an unwanted machine. A few hours later, the phone rang again. I answered it, and a friendly voice said, "Hello, this is Scott." I've been practicing that little friendly voice there. "Goodbye, Scott." More calls came, and I didn't do anything about it, hoping the bomber would give up. Finally, a few days later, I wrote the number down and mentioned it to my wife. I asked her to notify the Do Not Call agency the next day while I was at work. She said she had also been receiving numerous unwanted calls from Scott. She suggested that if he called again that night, that I stay on the line and to wait for a real person. Yep, another call came that night, using a different phone number, but beginning with the same greeting. "Hello, this is Scott." I waited for the recording to, that's a pretty good voice, isn't it? I have no idea where it came from. Eventually, a woman came on the phone and she said, "Hello, how can I help you?" "First," I answered kindly, "may I have your name?" Click. No response. She was gone. The call was over. When people do something and they do not want to give their name, that is a bad sign. It usually means that they are trying to hide something. And they want to avoid accountability. Are you doing anything or saying anything or thinking anything or watching anything with which you would rather not have your name associated? Bishop J.C. Ryle once described Phariseeism as a leaven which, once received into the heart, infects the whole character of a man's Christianity. Is there any area of your life where you are play acting? Are you able to see hypocrisy in your life? See, let us beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of hypocrisy. But let us also look at the exposure of hypocrisy. You see, Jesus went on to say to his disciples that a day is coming when the real condition of our hearts will be fully exposed. All of our thoughts will be exposed. All of our secret attitudes will be exposed. and all of our secret sins will be exposed. And they won't be exposed in a private meeting between you and God. They will be exposed for all to see. Jesus said in verses 2 and 3 of Luke chapter 12, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner room will be proclaimed from the roofs." See, we become so easily entangled in sin. And one reason is that we enjoy sin. That is why we do it. But the more we do it, the greater our hypocrisy becomes as we try to hide it. Now, pastor and author Max Lucado, he illustrates this truth in a book entitled Grace. He writes, "Ever since my high school days, when a buddy and I drank ourselves sick with a case of quartz, I have liked beer. Out of the keg, tap, bottle, a frosty mug, it doesn't matter. I like it. But I also know that alcoholism haunts my family ancestry. I have early memories of following my father through the halls of a rehab center to visit his sister. Similar scenes repeated themselves with other relatives for decades. Beer doesn't mix well with my family DNA. So at the age of 21, I swore it off. Then a few years back, something resurrected my cravings. At some point, I reached for a can of brew instead of a can of soda. As quick as you can pop the top, I was a beer fan again. A once in a while, then once a week, then once a day beer fan. I kept my preference to myself. No beer at home, lest my daughters might think less of me. No beer in public. Who knows who might see me? None at home, none in public. That leaves only one option: convenience store parking lots. For about a week, I was that guy in the car drinking out of a brown paper bag. No, I don't know what resurrected my cravings, but I remember what stunted them. En route to speak at a men's retreat, I stopped for my daily purchase. I walked out of the convenience store with a beer pressed against my side, scurried to my car for fear of being seen, opened the door, climbed in, and opened the can. And then it dawned on me. I had become the very thing I hate. A hypocrite. A pretender. Two-faced. Acting one way, living another. I had written sermons about people like me. Christians who care more about appearance than integrity. It wasn't the beer, but the cover-up that nauseated me. You see, Max Lucado realized that he had become a hypocrite. And as he said, it wasn't the beer that was the problem for him. It was that he had play-acted, that he never drank alcohol, when in fact he was sneaking these cans of beers in a convenience store parking lot. That was the hypocrisy. So what did Max Lucado do about it? Well, here, listen to this in his own words. So what happened with my hypocrisy? First, I threw the can of beer in the trash. Next, I sat in the car for a long time praying. And then I scheduled a visit with our church elders. I didn't embellish or downplay my actions. I just confessed them. And they, in turn, pronounced forgiveness over me. Jim Potts, a dear silver-haired saint, reached across the table and put his hand on my shoulder, and he said something like this: "What you did was wrong, but what you are doing tonight is right. God's love is great enough to cover your sin. Trust His grace." After talking to the elders, I spoke to the church. At our midweek gathering, I once again told the story. I apologized for my duplicity and requested the prayers of the congregation. What followed was a refreshing hour of confession in which other people did the same. The church was strengthened, not weakened, by our honesty. What is your secret sin? When will it be exposed? If it is not exposed in this life, you may be certain that it will be exposed at the final judgment. If you do not confess your sins, including the ones that you think no one knows anything else about, then you will live your life in fear of being discovered. The only way to live unafraid and unashamed is to make a full confession, believing that God will forgive all your sins through Jesus Christ. See, we've looked at hypocrisy as Jesus has spelled it out in Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. But how would your behavior change if you thought someone was watching you? There are two studies. One was in 2006 at a university faculty lounge. They offered coffee and tea to professors on an unsupervised honor system, much like we had for several years in the refrigerator upstairs. Upstairs, you just go get a can of soda and you drop some change in there. And we did that for a while. What they did here was the professors would go and get coffee, and then they just put money in a change box that was there. But they tried an experiment for several weeks. They put a hard-to-miss poster right there by the box. One version of the poster, it had pretty flowers on it. The other version had a pair of glaring eyes that looked out at the viewer. The image alternated between flowers one week and these glaring eyes the next week. People paid almost three times more on Eyes Week than on Flowers Week. This study goes a little bit further. In 2012, a study they found the same results. This time, the watching eyes changed the behavior of potential bicycle thieves. Researchers put signs with great big pair of menacing eyes and a message that read, "Cycle thieves, we are watching you," by the bike racks at Newcastle University in England. Then they monitored bike thefts for 2 years, and they found a 62% drop in bike thefts at the locations with the signs. But there's an interesting twist to this experiment. While the rates went down by 62% where the signs, "We are watching you," in other places in the university, they shot up by 65%. An almost perfect offset. In other words, the thieves, they kept stealing bikes. They just moved down the road where the glaring eyes weren't watching them. They didn't have all the judgment and the accountability. See, of course, God is watching you and me. He sees everything that you and I do in secret. Nothing escapes His eyes. You may have some secret sin. You may know that you are a hypocrite. You know that you are a play actor. You act one way with people, even your Christian brothers and sisters, but your heart is far from right with God. So what should you do? Well, I have good news for you. There is no sin at all which is beyond the forgiveness of God. So confess your sin to God. And if your sin involves other people, confess your sins to them as well. Then believe that God has sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for your sin. And when you repent of your sin and you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you receive forgiveness from God. Then commit yourself to live before God and people with sincerity and truth.